Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to throw you a curveball because the baseball game that we're going to be dealing with is Obamacare, and it's coming. And a lot of people are scratching their heads and saying, what do we do about it? What's to make of it? And so I've roped an expert, and his name is Nate Papura. He's a Medicare consumer specialist with eHealth, eHealthInsurance.com. And Nate's been on the program before, and a double thumbs up for Nate. He's been a great guest, so I know he'll be able to help us today with understanding what's coming with Obamacare. Welcome to the program, Nate.
Hey, David. Glad to be back.
Yep, glad to have you back. And you're always a good guest because you just tell it to us straight. So give it to us straight. What's coming down the road with Obamacare? What should we expect? Kind of give us an update on where this is. It's law now, so where is it? When does it hit? How does it start affecting people, and when does that happen?
Okay.
Just all that.
We have 3 hours for this program.
That's right. Just those things.
Just those things. So the big, I don't know if it's a misconception or whatever, but I think the thing people need to know is that if you get health insurance from your employer, you are probably not going to be affected that much. Now, if you work for a smaller employer, you know, less than 50 employees in the company, now you might see some changes. But if you work for a bigger company, not likely to see much change. And if you're uninsured, then you know next year that you're going to pay a tax penalty or you have to buy health insurance. So for people in the uninsured, or you buy your own insurance, or you work for a small company, here's what is kind of coming down the pipe.
Okay, good.
We are going to have an open enrollment period starting in October.
This year, 2013,
this year,
okay.
October 1st, it's a national open enrollment period where you can start to go sign up for new Affordable Care Act compliant health insurance plans. So you can, in most states, you can go to eHealthInsurance.com and get plugged into some of those plans, or you can go to your state's exchange. You can pick the insurance company of your choice, and those plans should be available for you to enroll in. And that open enrollment period will run from October of this year until March of next year. And so that's the big thing. And you go find, you'll be able to sort of shop around like you do on eHealth Insurance today.
Well, I've been to your website.
You like,
yeah, I've been to your website, Nate. It's very easy to navigate. You've got the individual and family coverage, small business coverage, short-term, Medicare, supplement plans, dental, vision, life, all that kind of stuff. So if somebody's trying to figure out what to do with this when we get into the fall, I'll definitely recommend they visit that eHealthInsurance.com website.
We appreciate it.
Okay, so you know, you said something. I think that a lot of people, you're right, Nate. I think a lot of people don't realize that if you do have coverage now through an employer, this isn't going to directly affect you. However, something you also said that my ears perked up. I was listening to you, and I said, "Wait a minute," because a lot of businesses, a very high percentage of employees in the United States are actually working for what we call a small business. And my company's one of them. So do you have an idea yet of how that might affect? Because we have a pretty good health plan here at Holland Financial, I'm proud to say, and we pay for our employees' coverage. How will that affect? Will it change the way the plan is structured? Will we have to change the benefits, all of the above?
Most likely not.
Okay.
If you're under 50 employees, under 50 full-time employees, there's no tax penalty for you if you don't offer health insurance.
Okay.
There are actually some additional tax benefits if your employees are under certain income levels and things like that. You can actually get some additional tax deductions. So, you know, it could be good for you. And then the other benefit really is, we have a lot of small business customers too, and most of them want to offer insurance to their employees, but they find it, you know, increasingly expensive and difficult to do that, and they want to do it mostly out of a moral obligation because they know some of their employees, if they go to the individual market to buy their own insurance, could get declined.
Right, right.
So now that goes away. So if you're a small business owner and you're struggling to keep the business going and to offer health insurance, you have the option to say, hey guys, you know what, we're going to drop the coverage this year. Now you can get it on the individual market. And My sense from talking to small employers and from the surveys that we do is that most don't plan on doing that. They feel like it's important to offer insurance to attract talented employees. So, and that seemed like a big possibility earlier, but now from the research that I see, it doesn't seem like a lot of employers are going to take that route. But so you actually, if you're a smaller business, you actually have some more options. You if your employee, if you can't offer the insurance, your employees have another place to go where they're going to be guaranteed to get health insurance.
So if I'm an employee of a small business, they've got coverage. Company's going to keep it. It's all good. There's no problems. I get to keep my coverage. I get to keep my doctor. There's none of that. You know, some of the things that were around the periphery of when this legislation was being put through, a lot of heated debate over it in this country about that being, some say ramrodded through, some people say, you know, tricked through, and you can read the bill after you sign the bill, all that stuff that we know was in the press. But what you're saying is, you know, if you're a small employer, you've got health insurance coverage like my company, there's no real bad impact. In fact, there could be some good things from a tax standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that you mentioned that gives me caution is the doctor thing.
Okay.
And that's really, to me, that's the wild card. I know that at least on the individual side, and I would expect this in some of the small employer networks too, that you're going to see tighter networks. It's going to be, that you if you want the cheaper plan, you're going to get a slimmed down network of providers. So you, if you're an individual purchaser, you might have to pay a bit more to see the doctor down the street, and to get the lower price, you might have to go to the guy who's, you know, 20 miles away or so. That's one area where the doctor thing, I think the jury's still out because we haven't seen the new networks.
So it may or may not be that you get to keep the doctor. If you like your doctor, you can keep them. That may or may not prove out to be true.
Yeah, well, you can, but
it's going to cost more.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know,
demand thing. You know,
right.
You're going to add 30 to 50 million more people to the insurance rolls, and
but
you're
not
adding the equivalent number of doctors. So,
but a lot of doctors are worried that, you know, they're going to end up being employees, and a lot of doctors are freaked out over this legislation, and so it's ironic that there's going to be so much greater demand for their services, and a lot of them are like, it's never going to be the same, and they're really bummed out about it.
Yeah, I think, you know, we work with my pediatrician here, and she's great. She's actually Buster Posey's pediatrician, oddly enough. Buster Posey, the catcher for the Giants.
Thank you for telling me that, because I wouldn't have known that.
You know, I think that a lot of doctors, some doctors, I think you're right, but I mean, you know, some I think are just so busy running their practices and that they maybe are not tuned into this.
Yeah.
And so it's just, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's still kind of up in the air.
Okay.
And I think, you know, concerns and fears, some of them are probably very warranted, and some of them are probably
overblown.
On both sides are overblown. And you know, it's these kind of transitions, when they're this big, they're never
Easy. Change is a big deal.
Your kids, when they hit puberty, all of a sudden you think you got to figure it out, and they go crazy.
Well, yeah, I haven't hit that yet, so we're not even going to talk about that yet. But, Nate, let's do this. Let's take a quick break. Ladies and gentlemen, Nate Perper is our guest today. He is a Medicare consumer specialist, and obviously that's only part of what he knows about. And we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply, or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read. You'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen, with my friend Nate Perper, who is a Medicare consumer specialist with eHealth and the website. Especially when we get closer, well, now and in the fall, but you know, now you can go on there and you can find all kinds of good information about health insurance plans if you need health insurance and Medicare supplement, a lot of good stuff. It's one of the best websites I've seen that puts all this together. And then when we get into the fall, you'll want to go there when we get into this open enrollment period for signing up for the new health insurance National Open Enrollment Day of October 1st through March, you said, Nate, right?
Correct.
Okay, so ehealthinsurance.com. So we left off before the break talking with Nate about some of the ramifications and impact of Obamacare and its implementation in the fall of this year. Looks like it's going to happen. You know, of course, there's all been all kinds of conversations and talk in Washington, and depending on what television or radio or other media outlets you look at, that it's not done yet, but it looks very likely to be implemented, as we've discussed. and a lot more people are coming into the system. Now, you could argue, Nate, that a lot of people are already, you know, they get care eventually. It may be, so instead of them doing it at the emergency room, maybe it's at a primary care physician's office instead of that emergency room visit.
Yeah, that's true. And that's, I think that's one of the goals here, is to try and shift some of that, you know, is to get people looking at alternative ways to get care. You don't, you know, it's very expensive to the system if you've got a cold and you don't have a doctor, so you go to the emergency room. You know, we'd prefer that you have a, it's just better for everybody. Costs are lower if you have a primary care physician or a physician helpline or something like that where you can call and get some help, and so you don't overtax the emergency system on things that don't really require.
Well, and also get some preventive care.
We avoid
something doesn't fester, and become a real problem later.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of things. Okay, so it's coming, and it's not necessarily going to affect people who already have coverage through an employer, and we'll see how the network of doctors works out. I go to my doctor. If something changes there, I'm still going to go see him somehow because he's really good. But I think that that'll be something that people will have to evaluate. Now, what's happening with, there's this whole talk of what's called the grandfathered plans versus non-grandfathered plans. So what is that all about?
So this is a really big issue. You know, I think most people remember famously the president said, if you like the plan you have, you can keep it. But the language of the law makes that a little bit ambiguous. So the reality is if you have a plan today that you like, you may be able to keep it and you may not. And this is may end up being sort of a state-by-state thing. The way the letter of the law is that if you had a health insurance plan before, up to the day before the bill was actually signed, that's a quote-unquote grandfather plan and you can keep that plan. But if you bought a plan the day after, you are going to have to change that plan sometime next year.
So this is for people that are on an individual plan?
On an individual plan. And this is, we're talking about major medical, you know. So if you're on like a sort of a mini med, one of these little low, really crappy, not really health insurance type plans, that's not going to qualify anyway. So we're talking about major medical insurance.
Tell us how you feel, Nate.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's stuff that people get in trouble with. And
yeah,
it's not really
and
health
they think
insurance.
They've got coverage and they don't, right? Or it's just a piece of paper.
It's up to $3,000, which doesn't even cover your admission to the ER. So that's still being worked out in some states and with the departments of insurance and things like that. So it's not clear if everybody's going to have to change their plan or some people will, and when that's going to take place. So it's going to be state by state. And you know what when we talk to the insurance companies, there's a couple different approaches that they're taking. Now some may require you to actively re-enroll in a plan, so they're going to reach out to you, or they're going to have us or your broker, whoever, reach out to you, say, hey, we need to get you into an Obamacare-compliant health insurance plan. They're going to get your signature and all that and get you signed up. The other option is some may just passively re-enroll you, just let you know, hey, we've moved you into a plan that will make you compliant with the tax code for next year. And some, are arguing that you ought to be able to stay on your plan until its renewal date. So if you bought a plan, you know, December 31st of 2013, you could stay in that plan until December 31st of 2014 and, you know, potentially benefit from a lower rate because the plans in the market today are generally cheaper than, at least, you know, some of them are generally cheaper than what's going to be available next year.
Okay.
So we're seeing all three approaches, and it varies from insurance company to insurance company, and then the rules are sort of being debated, and
so a lot of stuff still being worked out.
Ambiguity. So it's a bummer for customers, and we're trying to keep people as informed as possible, but that's sort of still a big question mark out there. But definitely, if you had your plan before I think it's March 23rd of 2010, you should be able to stay on that plan indefinitely, provided that there weren't major changes made to that plan by the insurance company.
Very good. Nate Papur is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Medicare Consumer Specialist, as I mentioned earlier. eHealthInsurance.com is the website. Lots of good information there. Good place to check in and see what's going on with this legislation and how it's rolling out. It'll be reflected on their website. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Did you know living longer could be the death of your retirement? According to the U.S. Census Bureau, babies born today can expect to live until an average age of 78. Whether you're retiring today, tomorrow, or in 20 years, you must ask yourself, will your retirement plan go the distance? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
Welcome back. Nate Papur has been my guest today, ladies and gentlemen, ehealthinsurance.com. And Nate's been a good resource to us as we've been going through this legislative change and the new law with Obamacare and its implementation in the fall, and the impact on us, everyday people out here in the real world, not in Washington, who are going to be living with this. Hopefully it will be good, and hopefully it won't create too much of a disruption. Now, I'm going to come back to it one more time, Nate, because I know a lot of small business owners listen to this program, and of course, folks that are employed by those small businesses. There's a real good chance that we'll be able to keep doing what we're doing. They're not going to mandate that we change our plans to conform with anything. It's just, if we've got a plan, it's a group plan, it can just keep rocking and rolling.
That is, yes, that is my understanding. They're trying to make the individual market, where you buy your own health insurance, more like the small group market.
Okay, that makes sense.
Now, state by state, the rules may differ, so there may be some specific things in some states that insurance companies don't have to cover right now, even in the small group market, that they will next year. But by and large, the goal is to really reform the individual market and create some more options for small employers.
Well, here's what I was going to ask you. I was going to say, let me ask you this question then. If employers are able to keep their coverage and keep their plans and all of that good stuff, keep our doctors with the wave of more people. I mean, we're talking about millions, right, of more people coming into these plans that are offered. Because these plans are not being offered by the government. It's being offered by health insurance companies.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that wave of people, theoretically, a lot of them maybe don't have plans because they haven't been insurable. How is that going to affect, and I know this is a bit of a hypothetical, really hard to say, but what do you expect to be the impact on, say, my health insurance premiums for my business? Am I going to see some pretty significant increases as we absorb some of that poor claims history that the insurance company is going to be faced with?
That's a tough one for me to answer. Certainly, potentially, yeah.
I
think, the thing that people don't understand is that, Blue Cross Blue Shield is sort of an insurance company everybody's familiar with, but they're actually owned by different companies in different parts of the states. And,
sure.
It's still
a state-by-state
issue. Regional networks, still by
state-by-state
issue, and sometimes it's a county-by-county thing. So
yeah.
In places, in more rural places where there are fewer doctors and higher numbers of uninsured, and maybe more chronic conditions, things like that, you might see a bigger impact. But if you're in a bigger metro area where most of the people have insurance, maybe not so much. So it's, it's hard to make a general statement about that. I think in some places you're going to feel it more, in other places not as much.
Well, and I'll go out on a limb and say, I agree with all that, Nate, and I'll go out on a limb and say I think employers who are offering group health insurance to their employees because they're buying it through the same health insurance companies who are going to be part of this new Obamacare program, and
some are not participating in the
exchange. Was going to be my next question. That's good. Yeah. So that may ironically transform the group health market as well, in that, the companies that may become the most competitive in the group health market are the ones that do not participate over on the other side, because they don't have to factor in that claims experience in looking at their whole block of business.
Yeah, and the only other thing to factor in there, David, is that there are fairly significant federal subsidies that go directly to the insurance companies to help offset some of those costs. So, if you earn below 400% of the federal poverty level, which for a single person is about $46,000 a year, and then if you're married, the number goes up. If you have kids, the number goes up. So it depends on the size of your household and your income. But if you earn below that, about $46,000 a year for an individual, the cost of your insurance will tap out or max out at about 9.5% of your income, according to the law. So if there's a sort of a benchmark plan in every state, and if that benchmark plan costs over 9.5% of your taxable income, you don't pay any more than that, and the government steps in, and then that 9.5% goes down as your income goes down.
Okay.
So, there's some incentive there for the insurance companies to offer this. And, I know insurance companies get a bad rap, but we work with them all the time, and they, they really are, for the most part, are in this to help people out and want to be, supportive of this. And so I think, you know, the fear factor, this idea that, you know, some are going to game the system, maybe a little bit overblown.
Yeah.
I think everybody's kind of trying to do their best to make it work. Because, you know, we all got to live to work to live and work together. And, you know, insurance companies are heavily regulated by the state governments and now by the federal government. So
we do have to all get along. Just don't ask us to sit in a circle and sing Kumbaya. Okay.
Right.
But I think you're right. We are in this together. And I think what's interesting is that we will see a lot of shifting around. And so we just got to be patient with how this plays out and then just make our best choices. And of course they can go to your ehealthinsurance.com website for lots and lots of choices when we get to that, either now if they need health insurance or when we get to the fall. Nate Papur is our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, on the program. We're going to take one more quick break and we'll be right back.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
And we're back. Nate Papur, he hung in here the whole program. What a good guy. And he's been a guest of ours before and always comes with good information about health insurance. And ehealthinsurance.com is a website, and that's the company, eHealth, he works for. And you know, Nate, you made a comment before the break I have to come back to, and I'll try not to get too much on my soapbox about this, but when I was writing my book, Secrets to Secure Retirement, I had a whole chapter on insurance companies. And I think you're right. They do get a bad rap because they're an easy target for somebody to say, oh, these big insurance companies denied me or I didn't get this or, you know, whatever. And people say, well, they just got all this money. Well, we need them to have all that money and we need them to be successful. We need them to be profitable because if they're not, then they can't pay the claims that we need them to pay. And, you know, everybody seems to forget the multi-billion dollar costs that they bear when there's a enormous hurricane or Superstorm Sandy or any of these other events that they just they pay. And I think people, they get a bad rap. And I can't imagine, well, I can, and it's a pretty ugly place. I can't imagine a world without insurance, because it would be, let's go back to fiefdoms and empires. And, you know, if you don't have any money, you can't do anything. Imagine trying to get a car without insurance.
Yeah, I mean, it is got to be one of the toughest jobs in the world. You just, you know, Medicare, the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services put out a report 2 weeks ago that showed the charge master prices, the listed prices that hospitals charge for different medical services. So this is what they have on their book. Like if you went to a menu and looked at it, and they don't usually open these up, but Medicare actually opened it up and listed it. And they put it in a database. It's state by state, county by county for like the top 100 procedures. And you would be amazed at the difference in prices that two hospitals across the street from each other will charge, have as their list price for the same thing. So if you're uninsured and you go to one hospital and you break your arm, it could cost you $45,000. And the place across the street, it would cost you $5,000. And there's really no way for you to know that.
Well, it might be a gold-plated cast.
Right.
Or it should be for the price differential, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, the insurance companies have to deal with all that and negotiate all those prices, and there's not a lot of rhyme or reason to it. So it is, you know, not trying to defend anybody or say anybody's right or wrong, but it's extremely complicated. And, you know, so there's sometimes when claims are denied and things like that, part of it is because maybe there's just a charge that's coming in that doesn't make any sense. And I really encourage people, when a claim is denied, to reach out to your agent or broker, reach out to your insurance company and really talk to them about it, because usually they will help you get those issues resolved. That is their goal, and they want to help out. They want to make sure that you're getting a fair price. That's what they're there for. And I understand the desire to sort of throw up your hands when you see things like that. But, you know, don't take those kind of things lying down, because you know, insurance companies, like anybody else, want to provide good service. And, you know, as a broker, we really take pride in helping people do that, too.
I agree, Nate.
Try to connect and get the coverage you paid for.
Yeah, and you want to get the benefit of your bargain. You want to get the benefit. And not only don't take it lying down, you know, be active in pursuing it, but also be patient. Because as you kind of referred to earlier, this is all pretty complicated stuff. And I've been doing financial work for 20 years, and I sometimes have to really stop and read something a couple of times to make sure I understand it, because this financial stuff, which, health insurance, it all can be very complicated.
Yeah.
And so, we got to bear with it. Just a minute or two left here, Nate. Any closing thoughts on where we're headed with Obamacare?
Yeah, wow. Well, in a couple minutes.
60 seconds, man.
Wrap it up. This is always the challenge when we do these, is that I feel like you and I have just scratched the surface.
But yeah, but I do that to keep you coming back.
Yeah, right. We've always got things to talk about. I would just say that try to be optimistic. Really check around. You want to check your state's exchange. You want to check ehealthinsurance.com. You want to talk to people. Having health insurance is really important. So just try and really be proactive and bear with it. I think this law is definitely not perfect. It will be a work in progress probably for a number of years, but we're trying to get to a place where, as the richest country in the world, we're making sure that everybody has access to some sort of affordable basic care. And I think that's a good goal to get to, no matter what side of the aisle you line up on. And I think most people on both sides agree with that. And so, let's just be patient and proactive as we try to get there. That would be my message to the world.
All right,
statement, I guess.
Yeah, we'll take that, Nate. Nate Papur has been our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, Medicare Consumer Specialist. eHealth is the company. eHealthinsurance.com is the website. Nate, we will have you back again.
Okay, David. Good
Thank
to talk
you.
To you.
All right, have a good one.
You too.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland, and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.